If you are visiting us with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the offertory, at which time they go to their religious education classes. However, today is an intergenerational service, so that won't be happening. The children will remain in the service. But if you do need nursery service for younger children, that's right outside those doors and across the hallway. We always enjoy getting to know our guests, so if any members have brought guests today and would like to introduce them, now would be a good time. Or if any guests have brought themselves and are comfortable standing up and just giving us your name, we would enjoy offering you a warm welcome, too.
I'm Donna, and our daughter, Carrie, is visiting from Austin.
Welcome.
Hi.
I'm Dan Sagamore. This is my wife, Crystal. This is actually the second time we've shown up, but the first time there were only, like, maybe 50 people here.
Welcome. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussion after the service. Please at this time put your cell phones on quiet mode. And I hope that you find this morning's service inspiring. Thank you.
Thanks for
the
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is our first regular Sunday of the regular church year, and I'm Carrie Duma. I'm the Director of Religious Education for the children and youth at our congregation. So I wanted to introduce myself to those who don't know me and tell you a little bit about our RE program. We offer classes for children ages 4 through high school, and we provide a place where our children feel a sense of safety and trust as they explore their faith, their ethics, their spirituality, and become a stronger part of our community. We bring the UU principles and the wisdoms and teachings of other world's religions into the classroom, and we offer ways for our children and youth to contribute to the larger community and act in socially responsible ways. Our religious education program is a rich one, fostered by the talents and attention of many caring adult volunteers who gladly give up their time and energy to our kids. Together, the children and their teachers learn and grow over the course of a year. Each classroom is taught by up to 6 different members of the congregation, and each teacher signs a code of ethics and undergoes a criminal background check. And we use curricula that are approved by the Unitarian Universalist Association. So this is my chance to give a plug for asking parents to bring their children to church on a regular basis. And children, for you to ask your parents to bring you on a regular basis would be great, too. If you come regularly, it allows you to make friendships and form bonds that last a lifetime. And my youngest child just went off to college, and I know that the bonds that he made here and my other children, too, are lifetime bonds that are very meaningful. And it also allows you to take the lessons and the things that you learn home and share that as a family together. So it's important. I also, it was mentioned in the announcements, but I wanted to encourage all of you to consider coming to our workshop on bringing UU values into the home in October, so look at that. So I just want to take a little chance to tell you briefly about what our different classes will be learning this year, and I'm going to mention the names of the teachers who will be teaching, so teachers, if you're here, and I mention your name, if you want to just stand up and give a wave, that would be nice. Our kindergarten to second grade class will be exploring stories about God, looking at the concept of God as a central symbol in a religious communication system. And they'll be learning that there are many different ways to understand God and to speak about their understanding of God. And this class is going to be taught by Kelly Cole, Stacy Schick, Amy Johnson, and Emily and Jeff Craney. So thank you. Our third to fifth graders will be doing a popular favorite curriculum called Holidays and Holy Days, where they get to celebrate many of the holidays in many of the world's faith traditions. And so it's a great year. They get to cook things, they get to burn things, they love it. And their teachers are Susan Atkinson and Randy Dorn and Heidi Kruchowski and Beth Pesky and Amy C. and Teresa Spencer. So they're going to have a great year. Our middle school class will be exploring issues of theological and ethical importance in our world and considering how our faith can help us understand our questions, seek answers, and deal with the trials of life using a curriculum called Popcorn Theology, where they get to watch little snippets of popular culture movies and then use that as a basis for discussion and activities. So it's a fun curriculum. And this is the year they'll also be planning to host a middle school youth con. So we'll be inviting youth from other UU churches in our area to come here. And they have a really fun year planning a meaningful day together and getting to know other kids from our UU faith. And their teachers are Anna Friss and Chris Pesky and Kim Sewer and Lisa Thorstenson and Janica Yoder. And then the content of what is covered in our high school class is largely determined by the youth, and we'll have a big group. We have 30 high schoolers this year. But we definitely plan to offer them an opportunity to explore regular spiritual disciplines to help them reduce stress and really connect with their own sense of spirituality. And they also are always involved with a lot of service to the community and other social action initiatives. And their classroom facilitators this year are Dave Cicero and Joanne Nelson and Phil Smith and Greg Valley. So great. A lot of familiar faces. We also offer two transitions programs. Our fifth and sixth graders have a transitions program and our graduating seniors. These are programs that recognize milestones in the children's lives and help them examine themselves and their beliefs in relation to our religious community. And they culminate with each of these groups presenting a worship service to the congregation, which are really special services that many of us really enjoy. And this year we will also be offering Our Whole Lives for 10th to 12th graders, which is a holistic program that models and teaches caring, compassion, respect, and justice, and moves beyond the intellect to address the attitudes, values, and feelings that youth have about themselves in the world. It's an optional, comprehensive sexuality education curriculum, and it'll be offered in early 2012, and I can answer any questions you might have about that. So I'm here most Sundays. I'd be happy to talk to any of you. I'm here during the week on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, so please get in touch with me, call me, or make an appointment to see me. I can be here in the evenings as well. I'd love to talk to you about how we can make a part of our religious education program and our UU faith a part of your family's life. And also, my last plug is to please register your children today if you're here. The forms are in the social hall, and also I've emailed those forms. I can email them to you as well. And then if you know any other families that are looking for a religious exploration for their families, please encourage them to come and take one of our flyers home and share it with other families so that we can expand our faith out into our broader community. So thanks very much.
We gather together in this beloved community of memory and hope. We offer thanksgiving for the stories of freedoms and choices bequeathed to us by past generations. We offer gratitude for the hope the future can be marked by peace and prosperity for all Earth's peoples. May we be steadfast advocates of our rich religious heritage and legacy. May we be generous stewards for the rich promise of our faith. Come together now. Let us preserve the memory. Let us promote the hope. Let us serve the vision of an earth made fair and all its people one. Let us now join together in common worship, seeking solidarity within the reliable foundation which upholds the world. Our opening hymn is number 134, Our World is One World, and I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as we sing together.
The seeds of life. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
September 11th. This is a day to honor the memories of more than 3,000 people who perished on September the 11th, 2001, now 10 years ago. This is a day to hold up the innumerable acts of determination and courage, of compassion and loving ways by those who responded. This is a day to be inspired by and humbled before the efforts of all who gave their own lives, serving and attempting to save the lives of others. This is a day when we remember the shock of that day. Some conclude that these events prove that the world is divided into contending powers. On the one side are the forces of good, and on the other side are the forces of evil. And they believe that the world is moving toward an inevitable and final encounter, and the means of this battle are military, and the tools are violence and anger and revenge and destruction. The end is an apocalypse in which the children of light prevail over the children of darkness. And the cries are, vanquish them, triumph, victory, annihilation. These are the bloodthirsty battle cries. The Christian scriptures, Book of Revelation, and some Jewish and Muslim scriptures, and in more recent times, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings are among the many depictions of the ultimate battle and the final outcome. This is, in essence, a religious vision. It is a religious faith metaphor for understanding the world. We Unitarian Universalists are among those who affirm another, a sharply contrasting religious vision based in a different religious faith metaphor. One of the most articulate presenters of this liberal religious vision was Ralph Waldo Emerson. Emerson wrote, "Cause and effect, means and ends, seed and fruit cannot be severed, for the effect already blooms in the cause, the end pre-exists in the means, the fruit in the seed. The end pre-exists in the means." Emerson reminds us that the events of September 11th, 2001 were neither the beginning nor were they the end of history. Yes, it is certainly true that the suicide pilots planned and carried out the attacks on the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and probably they intended to destroy the White House as well, or the Congress, thus symbolically hitting the economic and military and governmental institutions of the United States. They chose their means and their ends carefully. They and their sponsors and supporters were responsible for the destruction and the deaths that occurred that day. However, history did not begin with the events of 9/11. History is continuous. History is ongoing. 9/11 is a result, perhaps even an inevitable result, of the confrontation and class clash of different cultures acted out in governmental terms, in economic terms, in military terms, and religious terms. Behind the terrible events on 9/11 lies a history of policies and decisions of Western religious institutions that go back 1,000 and more years. Of the policies and the decisions of Western religious institutions going back 1,000 years and more, including the Crusades, which invaded the Arab lands, of policies and decisions of governments over hundreds of years, including our own United States government. It was the Western governments who decided what the borders of these nations would be, not they themselves. Of policies and decisions of economic powers and corporations who saw these places in the Arab world and the Muslim world as a way to make economic gains for people in the West. All of these influences had a negative impact on the peoples of the Near East, on their cultures, on their governments, on their economies, and on their religions. So it is not enough to say that the 9/11 terrorists were simply motivated by hatred of America and Americans, or that they feared freedom and democracy. We must always ask, what were the pre-existing causes that led these men to take up their nihilistic effects? We must ask, if we truly want to understand why this terrible event occurred, we must ask if we truly want to make the kind of positive changes which will address the historic abuses and injustices. And we must begin doing that by asking, what is our story of 9/11? We who have gathered here, we are disciples who have freely chosen a universalist faith. I propose this morning that we all have an obligation and a responsibility that in the worst of times, as in the best of times, we are called to enact in our lives the light of our universalist affirmation. Universalism has the audacity to affirm that all persons are worthy of salvation. Now, let me be clear what I mean by that big word, salvation, for it has many different and contrasting and even contradictory meanings. By salvation, I mean that all humankind, each and every person, was created out of the same stuff. And whether we like it or not, the truth is that we are all related and we are all responsible to and responsible for one another. It means we are all worthy of being held within the embrace of loving ways, each and every one of us and each and every person in the world. Further, we, each and all, universalist individuals and universalist communities, embody universal love only through the ways we relate to others. Whether they live in our house, or whether they live next door, or whether they live on the other side of the world or somewhere in between. We universalists promise to one another, and promise to all humankind, and promise to the mysterious forces which create and uphold us and the entire cosmos, we promise that we will seek to live up to this large universalist religious vision. And it is this universalist religious vision that Martin Luther King affirms in our reading when he says that violence does not diminish or destroy violence, but it increases and multiplies it. And we certainly have seen the evidence of that during the last 10 years. The universalist religion has a call. It calls to us to break the spiral of hate and violence. And as King suggests, we can only do this through the power of respect and compassion and love. Now, let me be the first to say that it is never easy to hold on to and to live by this large vision. Sometimes the universalist religious vision we share is larger than our capacity of heart and mind and will to live up to it. It requires compassion. It requires community service and loving ways. And sometimes our large hope for a world that serves justice and equality is not matched by our capacity to bring it into being. I don't know about you. Actually, I think I do know about you, but I know for certain that I am always struggling to live up to this universalist challenge because I know that I am capable of courage and compassion and justice and loving ways, but I also know that I am capable of hatred and cowardice and revenge and violence and destruction. So, in the midst of all this, I try to keep in mind Theodore Parker's reminder that we universalists are called to live and to work for a long-term religious faith. Theodore Parker said, "The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And I think probably most of us are familiar with the fact that Martin Luther King borrowed this powerful affirmation more than once in his speaking and writing. Yes, we struggle. We fall short. And at best, we are only partly successful and partly successful some of the time. And yet, the universalist vision still draws us forward to show our faith through our specific actions and deeds. Well, today, we have gathered here, we have gathered together, and we will gather water from far and wide, in keeping with our universalist vision, which embraces all the peoples of the world and the well-being of our earth itself, we remind ourselves that as we have experienced and been sustained by these waters, so have millions of others unknown to us, living and long gone. And we recognize that we and all living things are held in the loving embrace of this, our earth home. And if we are to survive, we will have to return that love to one another and indeed to the earth itself. Today we remember 9/11. We remember the shock. We are reminded of the cost of injustice. We remember those fallen. And we remember the heroes and their ways and deeds. We saw displayed the bright light of the human spirit, operating in service to a universalist vision that can meet the worst of times as well as the best of times. Amen. And I would like to light our special candle as our special memory this morning of that day. Let us join together now in singing hymn number 318. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and sing together, "We Would Be One." Would employ images of sousing, a furious, devout drench. And I should raise in the last a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly. How important is water to life on earth and to our lives? Do you know that water, H2O, comes in three forms? Let me ask, especially the younger among us, what are the three forms in which water comes? One is solid. What is that?
Ice.
Ice, thank you. One is a vapor. What is that?
Water vapor.
Water vapor. Thank you. And one is liquid. That's just water itself. Isn't that remarkable that the same thing can change in those ways and each one has such importance to our lives? Do you know that the same water that existed on Earth millions of years ago is still here today?
Yes.
You do know that. That's good. Do you know that 70 to 75% of this earth, the surface of this earth, is covered in water? Yeah, you knew that too. Do you know that the oceans hold 97% of the world's surface water? The glaciers and ice caps at both ends of the earth are 2.4%, and all of the lakes and the ponds and the rivers are less than 1%, only 0.6% of the earth's water on the surface comes from those sources. And do you know that underground aquifers, which are very large underground lakes, have more fresh water than is found on the earth's surface? You know that? Now you know that. Do you know that humans can use only about 0.3% of the earth's water, fresh water, found in these aquifers and rivers and freshwater lakes? Do you know that North America's five great lakes, who can name the five great lakes?
Superior.
Huron, did somebody say Huron?
Erie.
Yeah. I think we've got all of them there. We live very close to one of them. So that's the one that's most important to us, Lake Michigan. Do you know that these five great lakes located really in our neighborhood?
Yes.
That they contain 21% of the entire world's surface fresh water. And that only the polar ice caps contain more fresh water. So those are some of the remarkable facts about water on our Earth. But now let me share with you some facts about water and our bodies. Do you know that the human male body is about 60% water, but the female human body is about 70% water? So I guess it averages out to about 65%, except that there are probably more women in the world than men, so it's a little higher than that. How many of you remember how much water it is recommended that we take into our bodies each day?
8 glasses.
How much?
8 glasses.
Eight? Did somebody say eight?
Yeah.
8 cups of water. from all of the sources of water that we eat and drink. You don't have to just get 8 glasses of water, because there are other ways that we take water into our bodies, but our bodies need that much water every day. Do you know that the average person in the United States uses 80 to 100 gallons of water a day? And guess what the biggest use of water is?
Cleaning.
Flushing toilets. These are just a few of the practical facts about the importance of water for life on Earth and for human life and for each of our lives. But there's another way of looking at water. Water also stands for deep religious meanings in our lives, the kind of meanings that we call symbolic meanings. And that poem by Philip Larson was one of the ways of talking about that. The great scholar of the world's religions, Mircea Eliade, who taught at the University of Chicago Divinity School, he wrote, "Waters are spring of origin, the reservoir of all the possibilities of existence. They precede every form and support every creation." Wow, that really makes water pretty important, doesn't it? Well, all of the world's religious scriptures have stories and poems about water. And included over and over again are such themes as water creation stories and flood stories. And the poems we find in these world scriptures speak of streams of water, still waters, living waters, moving waters, flowing waters, deep waters, fountains of waters, and indeed wading in the water, as we heard in our music this morning. Earlier we heard Philip Larson's poem in which he talks about inventing a new religion based on water. He says, let me remind you what he says, "If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing." You know what that word sousing means?
Complete drenching.
It means covering all over. "Would employ images of sousing, a furious, devout drench," which is another way of talking about getting covered in water. "And I should raise in the last a glass of water, where any angled light would congregate endlessly." Now, I don't think there's enough light in here for me to do this, but if there was enough light and I got this glass of water in exactly the right place, what would we see reflected in the water? A rainbow, exactly. So that's the way that Philip Larson would want to end his wet service, with everybody drenched in water, holding up a glass of water to reflect the rainbow. Wouldn't that be something? If everyone came to church to get soaking wet, and then we put on dry clothes, and finally we held aloft a glass of water to the light, creating colorful rainbows. That sounds like a pretty interesting thing to do to me. I'm not suggesting we do it this morning, however. Larson's poem reminds us that a creative religion will encourage us to see life anew, to see life as refreshing waters and bright, colorful light show us a new way of experiencing things. And I think that is a symbol that speaks to the kind of religion we all seek, a religion and a religious community in which we seek deeper meaning and profound living. This is the kind of shared religious experience and the kind of shared religious meaning that our water ceremony seeks to express. This service is not simply about our important individual meanings expressed in the water that we each bring here today. The water we bring today comes from many sources, and we unite these many waters in a common bowl. And this serves as a symbol to express our affirmation that over and over again, the many waters become one. So we seek to be united in the same manner as one community of many peoples in relationship and common service to the world. So now I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little different to what you are accustomed to doing. But, you know, just please humor me this morning. I mean, I'm not going to be here forever, and then you can do it any way you want to do it. But this morning I ask you simply to speak aloud the place of origin of the water that you contribute. These waters that come from all over this nation and indeed all over the world. But please resist the urge to tell us the 5-minute story of the water's origin and why it is important to you and to your family. As the waters are offered and received, consider what gift you offer for the good of this religious community and indeed for the good of the world.
I'm going to invite everybody to come up here for two lines. There's microphones on each side. If you didn't bring water, you remember to bring water. There is a bowl of water here. You can simply place a scoop of that in there and say emergency knowledge would be from. We'd like to do that. And I think we always start. This is the water that has been gathered from previous services like this. I don't know how long this service has gone on, probably 14, 15 years. And so this is the ingathering of all those previous times, which we will be adding our water to. So I invite you to come forward.
And this water is from Rain Barrel here in Hartford.
From home.
Chicago, Illinois. We went to Arizona and there was no water, so I used the water from the church well.
Great.
From Washington, D.C.
Lake Superior.
From the generous storm clouds for the summer.
My lack of water is to symbolize the lack of water in Texas and the Horn of Africa, and my hope that they will again have abundant water sometime.
Lake Michigan and Park River in Wisconsin.
Juneau, Alaska.
The Belmont Wilderness in the St. Francis Range in Missouri. I find it.
Missouri, Potosi, and somewhere an hour south of Chicago.
This is from our own backyard, Fowler Lake in Oconomowoc.
Mine is from this bowl that we're all sharing the water this morning.
City of Waukesha, municipal water supply.
The aquifer is used by the residents of Pewaukee.
Rapalundis Water Park.
Door County.
Harlan Lake, Wisconsin.
Rita's House, Barberville, Kentucky.
Atlantic Ocean.
A melting glacier in Iceland.
Iceland. Lake Superior on the shores of the Porcupine Mountains.
From the sky, rainwater.
The intercoastal waters of Florida.
The Pacific Ocean in Ventura, California.
Home in Pewaukee.
Luna White Deer Lakes.
From our home in Genesee.
Hollywood, Northern Ireland.
Long Island Sound and Green River, Colorado.
Chesapeake Bay.
Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Mississippi River and La Crosse.
Fire Lake, Minnesota.
Town Lake in Austin, Texas.
Lake Superior off Copper Harbor.
Lake Superior.
Pacific Ocean at Galapagos.
Yellow River in China, Sweden, Baltic Sea, and Vienna, Austria.
Rain from Wales, Wisconsin.
Pine Lake.
Lake Superior and Boulder Creek, Colorado.
Lake Michigan.
The under construction reflecting pool in Washington, D.C.
Lake Beulah in Wapanico.
Our well in Oconomowoc.
Barrel Lake, Ontario.
Our county.
Dead Sea.
Istanbul.
Schriever, Wisconsin.
Gulf of Mexico.
Rio Grande in New Mexico.
Pine Woods Campground in the Cal Moraine State Forest.
From the sweat of 21 bodies in Kentucky.
From Beaver Crossing, Nebraska, it was very dry.
Nagawicka Lake in Delafield.
Cartagena.
Hudson River, New York City.
Lake Michigan in Door County.
Lake Lanao.
Abu Dhabi in
actually it's already been mentioned, but I want to emphasize it again. This is an empty glass of water. It serves to remind us that there are places in our country, and even more so around the world, where people do not have adequate water for their needs. So I want to symbolically add no water to our water. And also to remember that there are organizations around the world working to correct that, including the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. So it's not a hopeless cause. Well, truly, we have seen now, have we not? I mean, in a very direct way, that the many become one, and it is also a symbol of what it is that we seek to be in this religious community.
Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dream. The offering will now be received.
Rise in body and spirit and sing our closing hymn, We'll Build a Land, number 121.
We'll be right back.
on this, which is really my first Sunday with you, although I was present on a previous Sunday, first of all, I want to express my appreciation to Paul, and also to Tracy for their contributions to the service. And indeed, I want to thank each of you for your contribution to the service. This indeed was a community service today in which we all played a part. And I'd like to ask you to please read the words below the postlude, and if you feel like you can, to observe that the music is really an integral part of the service. It's the concluding part of the service. So let's listen to this good music, please. And now, many gifts and graces of the Spirit are discovered by our minds and motivated by our hearts and are carried forward to the world through the efforts of our hands joined together in service. So let us go forth now, bearing our good universalist news and our freeing universalist gospel. We are capable of carrying out the work of service on this fair earth, this earth where we all live and move, where we have our being, and discern our becoming. Amen.
Thank you.